time, we love to dismiss the children in the children's ministry. How many are glad to be in the service?
Amen.
One more time.
One more time.
And the song said, we didn't have to make it in. But I'm so glad to be in the service.
One more time.
And so we honor the Lord tonight. We thank Him for His goodness, His mercy. We thank Him for being God.
Yes.
Amen. Thank Him for God.
Hallelujah.
Thank Him for my wife putting up with me. Amen. I can be a so can she, I'm saying. Amen. We truly do thank God, amen, for His mercy and His goodness. Amen. Do you have to have some quiet meditation time between you and the Lord? Amen. And you know, our greatest desire should be to make it to heaven. More than anything, amen. It's important to have life needs, but the greatest need we have is for the Savior.
That's right.
Amen. That's our greatest need, to have us for the Savior. But there are some times when we just have to get along in quiet meditation with God. You know, just for God to reveal unto us what we are. Amen. I can understand what the psalmist meant in Psalm 19, verse 12, when he said, who can understand the error of his ways? And you know, sometimes we do things that surprise us. Amen. The psalmist said, who can understand the error of his ways? He said, concerning us, he said, Lord, reveal unto me my secret faults. Amen. That's both of those things that are hidden at the right circumstance, the right trial helps them to surface. And eventually, one of these days, I'm going to teach on spirits. Amen. Because when we fail to realize a lot of the things that are happening in our lives are spirits. You know, and I was talking to my wife the other day, and you know, you have to try to figure out what made people do some of the things they do. You know, I said, what makes them act like that? What makes them do the things they do? They're spirits. Now, the thing about a spirit, they can only hide for so long. Then it surfaces. A spirit can only go undercover for so long, and then it surfaces. Amen. So we're going to teach on that one day, because some of the biggest challenges we have in our lives is not the people. It's the spirit in the people. Amen. And those spirits are all around us at all times. The devil's greatest desire is to use those demonic spirits to bring us down, to oppress us. Mm-hmm. Amen. To keep us down so that we can't look up. Amen. But tonight, as I said on Sunday was too long for me to deal with the entirety of the subject. But I know how it is when it gets about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And most of us got up on Sunday and we fasted and prayed for the Lord to bless the service and have not yet eaten. All right, don't feed, man. Amen. Well, we actually took Sunday as a fast day away. You know, our fast days are, I believe, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, because Sunday is one of the very few mornings that we have that we can have family prayer, devotion, and eat as a family. So we used to fast on Sundays, but then we changed our fast days to Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. What are our fast days?
Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
And Friday, and no longer on Sunday, because that's the time that families can have family breakfast together. You know, most of the time, the weeks are too busy. But as I said on Sunday, I knew we couldn't deal with the entirety of the message of a request for a divine inspection. So I said we would break it up all the way to deal with part of it tonight. Amen. With that being said, let's stand. We're going to have our scripture reading. We're going to just read 2 verses of scripture that from Proverbs chapter 11. That being verses 1 and 2 of Proverbs chapter 11. Amen. And we will continue our thought on a request for a divine inspection. Now, the thing about a divine inspection is not what you see. It's not what I see. But it's when God looks beyond our external. When God looks beyond what we can see. And God looks down into those deep crevices where we have those secret faults. And God reveals them first unto us. The thing about God and Him wanting us to be saved is He reveals our wrong to us first. The error is not in God. The error is that most of the time we choose not to surrender. We choose not to yield. We choose not to be what God wants us to be. Proverbs 11 verse 1 reads, a false balance
abomination to the Lord.
A what? False balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. In verse 2, when pride comes, then comes shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of His word. Can we say the word of the Lord?
Word of the Lord.
Blessed already.
Blessed.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Can we say Lord?
Lord.
Alright, guys, not a lot of people, so y'all gotta give me a little more energy. Amen. Can we say, Lord?
Lord!
Sit down.
Sit down.
Thine anointing.
Thine anointing.
Lord?
Lord!
Sit down.
Sit down.
Thine anointing.
Thine anointing.
Amen. The reason we want God to send down His anointing, it gets beyond what man can do. Amen. But it's God speaking to the needs that are in our lives. Anybody got some needs? Anybody need God to do some spiritual stuff for them? Anybody need some deliverance? Anybody need some healing? My Lord, send me a word. I believe in Psalm 107, verse 27, He sent His word and it healed them. So tonight, we want God to send His word. Well, what's the most important healing? Spiritual healing. Before our natural body. Because I heard somebody say, ashes to ashes, this body is going to go back to the earth one day, but our souls, that's the spiritual healing, is going to live on forever somewhere. Amen. So our greatest desire, as I started off by saying, musing. Do you know what it means when you muse? Not abuse. Amen. Not amusement, but musing means when you get heavy meditation and thought with God. We think about a whole lot, but we get so busy with life, amen, cares and worries, that we get distracted away from the spiritual. Amen. So when we muse, that's just being in God. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's just, you know, I don't need nobody else at this time. Lord, I just need you. Because I know I have faults. Anybody know you have faults? Mm-hmm. Lord, I know I have failures. Mm-hmm. Lord, I know I got some shortcomings. Mm-hmm. So when I just take this quiet time with you, Lord, I need you to help me to see myself as you see me. Mm-hmm. That's what a divine checkup is. God helping us to see ourselves as He sees us. Because I think Proverbs 22:1 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but it's the Lord that weigheth or pondereth the spirit. In other words, God reveals or checks out our motives. He checks out what makes us act like us. Do you know there's nobody else in this world that will act like you but you? Amen. So we're unique in that sense. Now we might have some commonality. In other words, we might do some things that are similar, but there's no one else that can act like us but us. See, Zoe like that. You see when I say that? She acted like you. Amen. Nobody else can scream like that but Zoe. Amen. But what I'm saying is, there are some things about us. Now God accentuate the good. But Lord, have mercy. I need you to reveal those secret things. So the psalmist said, verse 1 said, a false balance is an abomination before the Lord. Well, to get the full context of the message, is dealing with deception. Amen. Acting one way before God when God sees something else. So the example that they use is a false balance. And back in Israel, you know, they didn't have those electronic scales. How many know when they wanted to weigh something, you could just stand on an electronic scale, hit the button, and it goes up, and then you jump off of it real quick before anybody see it, turn it off. Amen. So back then, they didn't have those kind of scales. But what they would do is they would use stones or rocks to help get the proper weights for whatever the merchant was selling. Well, what they had gotten in the habit of doing is they had in the habit of cheating the people. So what they would do is they would use a false weight. For instance, if you were supposed to be buying 2 pounds, they would only put 1 pound weight, but make you think it was 2 pounds, and they would charge you for 2 pounds of whatever the service was. Well, God said, that's a false weight. Amen. That is a false balance. It's an abomination before God. Well, with that being said, we consider our spiritual life. Amen. How many of us are offering God deception? Amen. How many of us are really not giving God our all? Well, he said, if we get to that point where we know that there's some areas that we need to come up in, but we just keep giving God the cheap stuff, we are deceptive. We're not honest. He said, well, that false balance is an abomination before the Lord. Well, what's a false balance? God has given me a spiritual checkup. And God is revealing to me the areas that I need to do better in. Amen. God is revealing to me the areas, the things I need to cut out. But I choose to give God what I want to give him and not respond by giving God what he asked for. He said, well, that is an abomination before the Lord. He said, what a just weight is his delight. So we cannot continue in God giving us our checkup to give God what we want to give him. And he said, like, you know what, God, you take this. This is all I'm going to give you. God said, that's an abomination. Now, when you can't help yourself, that's one thing. But when you know you can do better and give God more, God does not take pleasure in that. He said, but a just weight. In other words, if I bought 2 pounds, give me 2 pounds. If God reveals unto you, you need to come up to this area, don't say, God, I'll do this, but I'm gonna do that. Give God a just weight, because that is his delight. But verse 2 said the conflict of a challenge to surrendering and doing what God wants us to do is that when pride cometh. Pride is when we evaluate our spiritual condition. We say, Lord, though I know I need to improve in this area, I'm going to give you this. He said, well, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. Amen. But what the lowly is, you know what they're saying? Now, the conflict to us spiritually being what God wants us to be is, I know I should do this and I should do that, but I'm going to do what I want to do. God said, when pride cometh, then eventually you're going to be shamed. The real you, you can masquerade and hide for a little while, but the real you is going to eventually show his ugly head. Then when it shows his head, you are going to be shamed. Because God all along has been trying to bring this out of you, and God gave you the checkup. He said, this area you need to come up with. And like I said on Sunday, the greatest thing about God giving us a spiritual checkup is he doesn't make a mistake. Can I get an amen?
Right.
How many know God doesn't make mistakes?
Right.
Amen. How many know that God's greatest desire is for us to be saved and to make it to heaven?
Right.
Well, when God reveals us to ourselves, it's not for our destruction, but it's to make us better. But when we are caught up in pride, we cannot hear from God because we can't get past ourselves. Pride is when we elevate ourselves above God. What's the greatest example of that? Lucifer was the archangel. Amen. He was the morning star. But Lucifer got caught up in pride. And he said, you know what? In essence, he got a third of the angels in the Bible lesson though they're innumerable. You can't even count all the angels that he got to follow him. He said, you know what? I'm going to be above God. That's pride. That's not surrendering. That's not submitting to God. That is pride. Amen. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 16 and get to Daniel chapter 5, Proverbs chapter 16. It's so important that God giving us our check up tonight. Lord, above all else, I must be saved. Whatever you have to do to me, Lord, please. I don't know if somebody said please, but this is what my desire is. Lord, please don't let me be lost for eternity. For above. Do you know what all else is? Above all else, I must be saved. Hallelujah. Sometimes in our quest to have success, we put a back burner and we make our consideration of everything but God. What the Bible says, that's a false balance. We must keep our life in a proper perspective. God has to be number one. Amen. But unfortunately, many times we make our decisions. We do not make our decisions based on keeping God number one. We make our decisions based on what we think. Amen. That's why I like the Lord Jesus himself. When he knew his hour was coming, he at that time, he separated. Did you know he separated from the disciples? The Bible said he was the stones cast away. But he left them an example to follow. In your hard times, amen, he said, watch me. So he told them, it's time for you to watch and pray. And he went a stone's cast away. And the Bible said he prayed. And he prayed so fervently that his sweat turned into blood to show us there are times in our lives that we're going to have to agonize to get the victory over the flesh. Amen. It's not going to be easy. God himself. Amen. Can you imagine the battle he had to show? That he had to pray until his sweat became blood to get the victory. But then we walk up, you know what, God, you do it. You're almighty. I don't have to do this. If God himself exercised himself to the point of being an example for us, to show us that for him to get the victory, amen. And then Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 says he sought the Lord with tears and strong crying. That's our example. But we don't want to do too much. You know, we just get a lot of 5 and 9 prayers and Lord, you know, here, what like the old kids just said, now lay me down and sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. We on our way. You're going to go beyond that. You're going to learn how to get down and agonize in prayer. Amen. Because a fervent, effectual prayer. What kind of prayer? Fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous does what? Give you some results. It takes prayer. It takes getting hold of God. First one reads, the preparation of the heart of man and the answer of the tongue is? You can't do nothing without him. All the ways of a man are clean in his own. But holy. But the Lord, what? That's what we're going to get on the spirits. He mentioned. God weighs the spirit. Amen. And he places them in a balance. God weighs our spirit. Well, what's the spirit? The spirits are the motives behind what we do. Amen. So yes, the preparation of the heart of man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. But then God gets down to the point where he begins to weigh the motives. Now why did, I'm going to use myself as an example. That way y'all won't think I'm picking on you. Now why did Eliakim do that? Well, why did Eliakim say that? God is weighing the spirit. Everything we do in life is influenced by a spirit. Amen. If we're not in tune with God, then there are other spirits that will control us. Amen. But the way God weighs the spirits or the motives of what? Why did you do that? What made you say that? What made you act that way? God is weighing. Now we look at us, look at them. God said, I'm looking at y'all now. I'm looking for the motives. I'm using my word, which is quick and powerful, to discern the thoughts and the intents of your heart. God says, so I'm sending my word to check you out. You know how it was when we got married, before we got married? He was checking you out, you were checking him out. Well, she was checking me out, and I was checking her out.
Right.
Oh, y'all don't know when y'all got married. Y'all just when we got married, so y'all must have been over in the Eastern culture, right? Y'all parents showed y'all dates? Yeah. Y'all been checking each other out? If you married?
Yes, sir.
Well, we ain't gonna mess with that one, I guess. But guess what? God will check you out. Amen. I'm so glad I checked him back out. I'm glad he made a way where there's no way. Let me keep going though. It says, commit thy words unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be. If you want success, he said, roll everything you have, all of your works, your deeds, give them to God. And when you give it to God, he said, God is going to make sure you are successful. That's what that means. You want, how can you get success outside of God? So we must commit our works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord has made all things. Yeah, I don't care what you do. God has made it for himself. Next verse 5. Everyone that is proud and hard is an
abomination to the Lord.
How can we not get past his pride? Amen. Proud. Pride means I know I'm wrong. I've seen what God has done to others. But why do we choose to make the same mistake? That's pride. That's being proud. Yes, I know that if I do this, then every sin and transgression, the Bible says, receive a just recompense of reward. He said, but I want to do this. You know, I've had this desire. Amen. Stop. Give God what he deserves and not what we want to give God. But pride, a proud man will not do this. That is, proud in heart is an abomination. No hand joined in hand, he shall not. You know what I'm saying? Now, you can get everybody else that's just as wrong as you are to join your hand, but you can be assured of one thing. You still want to be punished. Amen. We cannot get a confederacy or get people on our side when we're wrong. So, well, I'm in numbers, because as long as I got the numbers, I'm all right. Wrong. I would say, though you join hand in hand, you will not be unpunished. Why? You're acting in pride. There are times we think because of numbers we don't have to worry about anything, but we're going to read a little later. Right now we're dealing with the principle of pride, and now later we're going to deal with the very application of pride. Someone that knew what someone else had done was wrong, and they turned around and did the same thing. God's judgment. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man weighs, can we read that together? What?
When a man weighs,
when a man weighs, please who?
The Lord.
Tonight, who are we trying to please? Who are we trying to please? God gave me this divine checkup. I don't need just a regular checkup. I can go to the doctor to get that. But God, I need you to go down and see some stuff that medical imagery cannot reflect or show. I need you to show me, Lord, down in my heart, the things that are causing me to be in conflict with you. Hallelujah. MRI can't reveal that.
All right.
A CAT scan can't reveal that.
All, right.
All that poison they get to get your insides to glow can't reveal that. Because God is able to discern the very thoughts and intents of our heart. The Bible says he's able to divide the asunder between the soul and the hallelujah. I said medicine can't do that. They don't have no imagery can reveal that. Only God. So Lord, I choose in my divine checkup. Lord, work on me. He said, when a man weighs, please, he what?
Make it.
How can when we try to please God. The problem is we start off pleasing God, but then we allow the situation to frustrate us, and then we get back into pride, and then we're in conflict with God. God said, I almost delivered you. You got back in the way. So all the ground that you conquered, God said, let's all over again. God said, I'm not going to move you any further forward till you conquer where you presently are. Amen. God cannot bless us in our spiritual state that we're in until we move to the next level. Amen. So he will make even your enemies be at peace. Better is to live with the righteous than great revenues without right. A man hard devising his. Well, why do we want God to give us a divine checkup? Because the Lord does what? Direct our steps. So yes, we can devise all our own ways, but in the end, I realize that the steps of a good man are guarded by the Lord. So we need the Lord to divide, to direct our steps. The next verse, a divine sentence is in the lips kingdom. Actually, go down to verse 16, Go down to verse 16. Then we're going to go to Daniel chapter 5 next. How much better is it to get wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of. Well, how can you get wisdom and you don't reverence God? That's the beginning of wisdom. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? The highway of the upright is God to give me my checkup. Now I have a responsibility. The stuff that you show me that's contrary, I need to what? Depart from it. Leave it alone. Depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth. One more time. The highway. Lord, it ain't just a regular way. It's a highway. Isaiah talks about the highway, but we're not here for that today. The highway of the upright is to depart from doing what we want to do. That's the highway of the Lord. He that keepeth his way
preserveth his soul.
Not our way. Whose way? God's way. His way. He that, Lord, you give me a checkup. Then give me the checkup. I got to keep your way. And then keep me away, I'm going to preserve my soul. Verse 18 said, the challenge to keep it God's way is that what? Pride goes before. Somebody said, how come my life is so bad? Because you haven't surrendered to God. You haven't yielded. So pride goes before. A Holy Spirit is just you just sit, lift it up. A Holy Spirit, like I said, we've got to teach on spirits because a lot that's happening in so many lives. I'm not talking about in here yet. Hey, somebody said, I'm not talking about you, Les. You. Amen. But the reason that we have a lot of the problems is because we have not yet conquered spirits. A spirit can hide for 40 years. And then manifest itself at the end. How do we know? Look at King Saul. Look at Solomon. That spirit masqueraded for a long time. But in the end, because they did not allow the Lord to direct their steps so that their souls would be preserved, it manifested itself. Spirits are some tough things. Amen. Spirit, when we got saved, every last one of you, just think about how you were before you got saved. That spirit, whatever it was, the spirit you had before you got saved, when you get saved, that spirit does not leave. It keeps coming back trying to find rest. And if you don't get the advantage of that spirit, the one thing about spirits is that they don't get tired. Amen. They don't care if it takes you a whole lifetime to get you. That spirit never stops. That spirit never dies. Amen. So that spirit that you had before you got saved, because we don't have no alcoholics in here, amen, I'm going to use that as an example. Nobody want to be alcoholics, right? Oh, Lord. is alcoholics, we use that spirit never dies. Amen. It's always there. I know better yet. You know, before you got saved, now we deal with real talk, real situations. Before you got saved, you know, you ever hear that song they played a lot, man, love you is wrong, I don't? Come on, y'all. They play it all the time. Matter of fact, that's one of Martin Luther King's messages he preached years ago. He said, if I'm loving God is right, wrong, I don't want to be right. But you ever hear that song, it's love you is wrong, I don't want to be right, but I don't see because that's wrong. It's ungodly. If love is wrong, I don't want to be right. But guess what? That's a trigger. Because it brings your mind back to a relationship. That is a spirit. That spirit carries you back. Amen. We used to sing about the cleanup moment. All of those songs, right? So when they start playing all those, somebody said, oh, I think it's still always for goodies. I know. Because they take me. Walking in the rain with the one you love, y'all don't know about that, right? Those are old songs. But you know what they do? Those are spirits, because they take your mind back. Well, that's what the devil does with spirits. He keeps taking you back. You're trying to go forward. Now, if you hear and get out of it, he can influence you. But one thing about music, you can play it in, but you can't really play it out. Spirits are real. And if you don't keep under your body, as Paul said, that spirit will manifest itself through pride. You know it's wrong. We know we shouldn't do it, but we're proud. You know, you hear it, I don't need to hear that. Amen. Especially when they take us back to some ungodly areas and places in our lives that we know we shouldn't be in. Amen. So we entertain the devil for a little while. The Bible says, give no. Alright, that's enough of that. Let's go to Daniel chapter 5. Amen. We don't want y'all to get caught up in all that worldly stuff anyway. We don't want to get all that worldly stuff, but it's real. Amen. Israel. Why do you think they bring up like all these old songs? Some of these songs are back from the 60s and the 70s. They're like 50 years old. What are they bringing them back for? Amen. So I'm going to say because he has no new thing. And he knows that as long as he keeps bringing those songs up, he keeps taking people back. God has brought us from that side of the cross to this side of the cross. God has taken us from the back side of salvation to this side of salvation. But the devil and his great wisdom and desire plays in the playground of our minds and takes us back. And God said, I've saved you, I've cleansed you. Don't go back. Keep going forward. And that's why Paul said, forget it. But listen, it's not just the music. There are situations that happen that are triggers. Amen. You can be in even when I go down south, there's sometimes I go to places, it's like a trigger. I said, no, you're not taking me back there. Amen. It's up to us. You can't relish in sin and ungodliness and wrong because God is doing what? Give us a divine check. He's checking us out. And he's watching. You don't give me that after you've done this. He's checking us out. Verse 1 reads, I'm going to go fast. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Now, Belshazzar is like he's either the grandson or the great grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, he was the greatest king. And just a little history on him. God kept dealing with him about his what? Pride. Nebuchadnezzar had a problem. That's why he built that great figure of gold and had him singing to it and had them worshiping him because he was conflicting with God. Amen. So his problem the whole time was pride. You know how bad a man gotta be? A now. Because you don't want to yield to me. For 7 years, he wandered out of the wilderness like a wolf. A man, his hair grew long, wet, fingernail. For 7 years, God said, I'm gonna take 7 years to reveal to you that there's no rivalry with me. Pride allowed him to conflict with God. God would deal with him about pride. He'd get all right for a little while, and he'd go right back to trying to be God. Amen. So his problem was he thought he was God until God finally broke him. And he ruled for 43 years, and he had some other successes. But then, a little later, this is Belshazzar. He said, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessel, which is there's a father, could be his grandfather, great-grandfather, or great-great-grandfather, okay? So it's not really his father, but it's one of those somewhere down the line. Had taken out the temple, which was in, that he was all right when he was messing with that other stuff. But the problem with these kings in Babylon is they always thought that they were above God. Pride. That the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink. And these are holy vessels. That's why we don't mess up. We don't mix holy with unholy. If they had just kept with the unholy vessels, it would have been all right. But now, you know what he's saying? He's saying, you know, because he realized that for 70 years, he realized the time was near to expire, that the Jews were supposed to be delivered out of Babylon. He said, it didn't happen yet. He said, you know what? I'm greater than God. That's a dangerous position. That's pride. That's pride. That's a holy spirit. Next verse. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king, his wives, his princes, and all of them drank in them. They drank wine and praise. How are you going to take God's stuff and praise the devil? How are you going to be in church? Amen. And then you can take church and praise the devil by doing what you want to do. God knows how to bring you down. And silver or brass or iron or wood and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and rolled over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw part of the hand that wrote. It's just like that all of a sudden a hand, we don't see no man, but we see a hand start writing on the wall. God knows how to get your attention. Amen. Hey, you play with God, said God said you play with fire, you will get burned. So now they're taking God's holy vessels and desecrating them. Amen. God said, he didn't wait the next day. He came when? The same hour. God began to write on the walls. Hallelujah. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him. Now, the king was drunk. They'd been partying, having a good time. But God knows how to get your attention. When that hand, now you all right, if we see something start writing on the wall and we don't see no man and just a hand, yeah, you're gonna start doing some stuff too. So the king was drunk. Amen. He was out of it. Hallelujah. But God said, you drunk king, I still gonna get your attention. So he started writing on the wall and says, thoughts troubled him so that the joints of his loins, the king began to shake. Knees were sprained together. Why? God was getting his attention. Amen. The king cried out, bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon. He wanted somebody to read the writing that was on the wall. Amen. Drop down to verse 16. I just feel in between that. So none of his wise men, astrologers, or soothsayers could read. But the queen, who was, go down to 16. The queen in between, who was Belshazzar, probably great grandmother, said, I remember when your grandfather was king, there was a man of the children of Judah. in whom was the Spirit of God. When you're in trouble, yes, you better get to somebody who got the right spirit. She said, now all these wrong spirits, soothsayers, they can't help you. He said, but in him, it, go back there. No, go back there. I don't want to do 12. I want 16. 16 and 12. 16 and 12?
Yeah,
16 and 12. See, that's right. The devil wants to get to do that. We just go into the right Bible. Amen. Which one is that? Okay, I want that one. Hold on, go down further. Let's go down to verse 18 then. Verse 18, I want to skip all that because all this is just telling about Daniel and the spirit that he has. Amen. But I want to get down to where we get to where the rub meets the road. Amen. Daniel, first the king tried to reward Daniel. Verse 18. First the king tried to reward Daniel, and Daniel said, you know what, you can save all of that. He said, I'm going to make you third ruler in the kingdom if you can reveal this dream unto me. Amen. Hold thou king, that one. Okay, let me go through this real fast. That way, he said, I've heard of thee, that the spirit of the God is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou can read the writing and make it known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about my neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and stood up before the king, let thy gift be to thyself. He said, I don't need your rewards. And give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all the people, nations, and languages trembled in fear. Keep going, go to verse 20. But when his heart was, amen, God tries to humble his people. Amen. So when his heart was lifted up in his mind, what does pride do? Heart. When he was lifted up in pride, and his mind was harmed by what? Pride. Amen. He was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took him, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts. And his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. Remember I said, I don't say that word. You hear the end, you say, wow, he was in the church Christian. No. They fed him with the grass, that means donkey. They fed him with the grass like oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven. Because of what? Pride. It hardened his heart till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom and that he appointed it over it whomsoever he will. And thou his son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thine heart, though thou, because wait a minute, you knew what happened to your great-grandfather. You knew how God brought him down because of pride. He said, you knew this, and then you turned around and did the same thing. You allowed yourself to be lifted up like that. You've seen what God has done to others that's doing what you've done. You've heard and you, it didn't say you guessed, right? He said you what? You do it. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, it's tough when you know. The Bible said to him that know to do the right thing. That's what God means, to do good. You know to do the right thing. Don't let your flesh or your mouth cause your flesh to sin. do the what? Same thing. Thou knowest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives and concubines, and drinking them. Next verse. Keep going. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Many, many tekel up harshen. That's a tough one. And this is the interpretation of the thing. Many means God has not of thy kingdom and finish it because of what? Pride. God gave you space. The good thing about God, he gives us all space to do what? Repent. Amen. Because he's not willing that any should perish. The next verse. Tekel means thou art way in the balances. A false balance is what? A false balance is an abomination. Belshazzar, a problem with God put him in the balances. And the indictment against him was that he was found wanting. Amen. God weighed him. God weighed why he did what he did. He said, if you are found wanting. Amen. A just weight is God's delight. So as God and God revealing and putting us in the balance, hallelujah, we see our found wanting. Are we trying to change? How could Belshazzar, who knew what had happened to his great grandfather, there's so many in that line that they don't know exactly where he was at, how could he know what had happened? Now, you know, when someone goes out like a wolf, and for 7 years they're like a wild beast, nobody in that kingdom forgot that. Everybody knew it. That's why the queen, when he couldn't get the answer, his great or great-great-grandmother went and said, well, we remember when your father was, your grandfather was king, what happened to him? Daniel interpreted his dream because he has the Spirit of God. So everybody knew it. Belshazzar lifted himself above God. So God said, okay, all y'all reveling and having a good time, he said, I'm going to get your attention. So he began to write. And they couldn't understand the meaning of the writing. But he said, you've been weighed in the balances. You found wanting. The next verse, I'm almost finished. We've got these four verses. The next verse reads, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Why did God do that? Because he was lifted up in pride. Verse 29. Then commanded Belshazzar to clothe Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be third ruler in the kingdom. Now, this is a miracle in itself, because Daniel was a slave. He was one of the captives of Judah. But when a man weighs,
please the Lord.
Come on, can I get some help? When a man weighs,
please the Lord.
He will make your
enemy.
Now, what's a Jew doing being third in charge in Babylon? God. Because he pleased God. Amen. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans. See, when we don't want to get to that point where God, give me some mercy. The Bible said, mercy and truth will preserve thee. Amen. In that same night was he slain. Keep going. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old, only 32 years old, amen. Then that's a whole, that's a mouthful in itself. Because when you look at the history, what Darius and all the Babylonians did, they trusted in their walls. They trusted. At that time, they had the floating gardens of Babylon, which was one of the seven wonders of the world. Babylon was so magnificent in its building that the walls around Babylon, they estimated them from anywhere from 150 to 300 feet high. The walls were so wide that a four-horse chariot could pass by each other on top of the walls. And then inside of that wall, they had a moat, which was about almost, I think they said, close to 200 feet wide was a moat. And beyond the moat was another wall. And Babylon was so magnificent that the Euphrates River went through the middle of it. So they, you know, and they knew that Cyrus had already surrounded. And don't get rid of that. Go to Isaiah chapter 44. I'm going to go to one other verse there. They knew that Darius had surrounded, had besieged the city for 2 years. But they had 20 years worth of food, so they didn't fear anything. But what they didn't realize is that Darius had stopped the Euphrates River. And the very source, and this is why they attacked them at night, the very thing that they trusted in failed them. That's why the Bible said, put not your confidence in man, put not your confidence in princes. So what Darius, the Medes did is they stopped the water and they came in through the water gates under the city and destroyed the Babylonians without even a fight because they were trusting in the wrong thing. I'm going to read just one verse of scripture in Isaiah chapter 44. Go to verse 27. This is what happens when we get so lifted up in pride. We put confidence in the wrong things. The devil will get you to trust in the wrong thing, but God knows how to still get the victory. Well, you say, how did Darius do this? Because God had already said this 200 years before Darius, or Cyrus, 20 years before this, God had already given a prophecy. That's why the Bible says God's prophecies are sure and they are steadfast. 27 says, thus said to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up thy. All they had to do was read the book, and they should have known how Cyrus was going to come in. Amen? Next, keep going. They said to Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasures, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built into the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. Go to verse 1 of chapter 45. So God had already said they're going to drown the rivers. Who was going to do it? Cyrus. Who conquered Babylon and destroyed Belshazzar? Darius, who's also Cyrus. He had prophesied 200 years ago before this that God was going to dry up the rivers. Verse 1 said, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of to open before him the two. What happened was when they went into Babylon, they had these golden gates. They were about, I think they were 45 feet wide and 80 feet high. In order for them to get in, they opened the gates. All they had to do was read the book. That's why it's so good to go by God's prescription. How long ago did this happen? It happened 200 years before this actually took place. Can you imagine 200 years before God sent judgment? He had already warned them and given them the name of the king that was going to conquer. That's what kind of God we serve. That's why it's good to be obedient to him. Loose the loins of the king to open before him the two leaf gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight, and I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by name, am the God of Israel, as we stand. follow the prescription and read the book. God had warned them 200 years. Yeah, I don't know about any of us, but God has spoke to us in our private times, in our dreams, and amen, through the word of God, what God has revealed to us. But how many of us are developing a spirit of pride that we refuse to yield and surrender to God? All Belshazzar and all of them had to do was read the writings of Isaiah to realize that God would have sent Cyrus, that he was going to break up, open up the living gates, and that he was going to dry up the rivers. God had told them how it was going to happen, but in their pride and in their hardiness, their spirit and heart was hardened. As the ministers come forward, tonight, salvation is all about allowing God, amen, to help us to see ourselves as He sees us. A request for a divine checkup. Lord, and checking me up. Amen. Lord, and God, what's in me? I don't want to be wrong. Lord, I don't want to be lost for eternity. Whatever it takes, Lord, I must.